Let me just mention one thing. Go ahead and turn, if you would, to Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is where we'll be looking today at just a couple of verses of Scripture there. But while you're turning there, let me say thank you to all those that helped yesterday with the funeral. Many of you came and helped, and also many of you brought food. And I want to say thank you. We had enough food. They were able to eat and enjoyed it and appreciative of it. And I want to say thank you to it. And then also I appreciate those of you that came to the service yesterday. We had 19 of our people, which I believe was a great representation. And I appreciate all of you being here for that service yesterday. And I know it was an encouragement to Jim. And I pray that it was to you also. If you have your Bible, Psalm 84. Sometime back, I preached a message on this entire chapter, 12 verses. And I saw something in it that I wanted to come back to a little bit later. And that's where I'm going to go today. But truly, this psalm deserves all the attention of the whole chapter. But what I want to speak to you today is passing through the valley. Boy, it seems like lately we've been going through the valley, haven't we? There's been a lot of valleys along the way. In fact, we find in the Word of God that God does not promise everything to be a bed of roses, and we understand that. But actually, what Psalm 84 is one of the songs that the Jews would sing on their pilgrimage to go to Jerusalem to worship God every year. This is one of the many, but every year they were required to go to Jerusalem to worship. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 16:16, three times a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, which was the Passover, and the feast of the weeks, which was Pentecost, and in the feast of the tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So as pilgrims, they were making their trek to Jerusalem, and this was one of the songs that they would sing along the way. And thinking about it, as they traveled, they were anticipating the worship and what they were going to get to do when they got there, being in the presence of the Lord. I think how we ought to come today to church, when we head to church in the morning, I wonder sometimes if we come realizing and anticipating with excitement what God's going to do. We don't need just the mundane, in-the-rut type living and the way we're going, but we need to understand that God is with us through everything that we do. And truly today, we need to anticipate the end and not so much the present time that we're living in now. So let me just give you quickly a brief outline for the chapter. We're not going to preach on it this morning, but in verses 1 through 4, we find a desire for God. This is the desire the people had for God. The pilgrims were actually voicing their opinion. In verse 3, you can see where they were talking about, even the sparrows have found a house and a swallow in the nest for herself. They were nesting in the tabernacle, the place, and they were envious, I believe, because they knew it was a place of joy and peace and worship with the Lord. In verses 5 through 7, we see a dependence on God. The pilgrims understand that their journey to Jerusalem will be difficult at best. This was not an easy journey. We think today, you know, we can go across town or we can go across the United States, and literally it doesn't seem to be such a chore to do because we have the means and the comfort in order to do it in. But when they made their trek, many times as they walked and carried, maybe had donkeys or whatever it was that they would use, it was a long, hard road ahead. But we see that they had a desire to get to where God was to worship him, but now they have a dependence on God to get them there. And then in verses 8 through 12, there's a delight in God. And this psalm closes with the prayer of praise as God is magnified in his presence and blessing. They declare the great truth at the end of the chapter. He said, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I've noticed lately a lot of people that I run into, well, I'll say, how you doing? And they'll say, I'm blessed. And I could truly say that every time somebody asks me how I'm doing, because I am blessed. And if you're blessed, it's because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we come to Psalm 84 filled with a lot of spiritual treasures. Every verse needs to be preached at some time or the other. But this morning, I want to go to verses 6 and 7 in the chapter and share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Now here they are traveling to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. They're coming into the presence of God. And the Bible said, who passing through the valley of Baca made it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Our Father, Lord, as we come today, we are thankful and we appreciate the privilege today that we have to open the Word of God. And Father, I pray today that you might guide and direct, give me wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name would be exalted. And I pray, Lord, that you would be pleased with the message this morning. And Lord, today it might speak to the hearts of those that are here. And Father, we just thank you now for what you do, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. So I begin to think about this. I understand as we think about valleys, valleys are difficult in life and we all seem to experience them. But here we find them traveling, going to Jerusalem. They're singing the song of Psalm 84. They're singing it as they go through. And the Bible said, who passing through the valley of Baca. Now that word Baca refers to weeping. It refers to crying. So you could say this is the valley of weeping. The word is related to the balsam tree, and no one knows where the Valley of Baca is, by the way, but many have tried to identify it. It is a real place, and it lies somewhere on the pilgrim's route on their way to Jerusalem. It's described as a place where the balsam trees flourished, and since they thrive, by the way, in dry areas, this valley would have been a place of barrenness. It would have been a place of empty desolation. It's possible that this valley speaks of all the problems that the pilgrims would experience along the way in their journey. And so what we find when the pilgrims entered into this valley, they were confronted with the fact that there was no water to quench their thirst, their physical thirst. Thus, it was a place of discouragement and sorrow that would have tempted the most stalwart pilgrims to turn around and abandon the journey. We all know these kind of valleys are like. Many people today get discouraged. Again, that's why we have to set our eyes on the Lord. I love that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wondrous face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But those who walk with the Lord have a promise of something better along the way. You remember what Paul said? He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to stay, but having a desire to depart and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope in this world that one day there's not going to be any more tears, no more sorrow, no more death, according to Revelation 21:4. By the way, that was Spencer's favorite verse. But we all hope the future is not what we experience in the world. In this world, the Bible refers to us as being strangers and pilgrims. It's going to be a difficult life. It's going to be hard along the way. Although, I would say today, we're a blessed nation and we're a blessed people, irregardless of what might be going on around us today. But as the pilgrims journey toward their audience with God in His glory, they're going to face some times where they're going to go through the valley. And I submit to you this morning, there's every one of us, and I've often said this, I said, you've either been through a valley, you're going through a valley, or you're going to go through a valley, because we see them all along the way. In the valley, there's always sorrow that breaks our heart. When sickness fails, when our health fails and sickness comes upon us, it's a valley of sorrow. There's valleys of suffering. It's a time of when hope gives way to despair. I think of people today, so many people I see are just so discouraged and so downtrodden and so going through difficult times. And friend, those are not good times, but they're times that God allows in order that He might bring us closer to Him. There's valleys of separation. I've been reminded the last year and a half of separation because I preached so many funerals. Yesterday, we preached the funeral of Lisa, and I sat and looked at Jim, looked at her family, and I know they're going to be lost without her. But you know, when that time comes, it's a deep valley that we go through. It's not that we long for them to come back because we know where they are, but it's because of the sorrow we feel within ourselves. Then there's the valley of sin when holiness fails us and temptation claims temporary victory over holiness in our life. I want you to know today the Bible said that the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's out to destroy us today, and sometimes sin will attack us. Sin will get a hold of us, and it'll destroy our relationship with God and what we need to be doing. The Bible is very clear. In this world, we're cursed by sin, and we can expect to go through the valleys. We know what the Bible said in Job chapter 14, in verse number 1. We find Job talking about the fact of what God had done in his life and where he had brought him to. And I'm grateful today that as we think about this, this life is cursed by sin. It came in with Adam in the garden. And the Bible said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He said in this world, in John 16, that we will have tribulation. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be heartache. And when we find ourselves in the valley, it seems to overwhelm us. It makes us want to give up. It makes us want to give in. It makes us want to give out. In fact, some people are led to the point, even today, of so much of discouragement. We hear so much about suicide. And friend, today, the only way you can make it and I can make it is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting Him, walking with Him, believing Him, and trusting Him that He'll meet our needs. There's times that we'll want to quit. There's times we'll want to abandon the journey. Many of us have been there. And you know, one day we're going to leave this world and we're going to be with Him, and it's going to make it all worthwhile. Being a stranger in a foreign land at times is very hard. But we're aware of the reality that life is filled with valleys. Here they are going through the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping. They're going through a dry and desolate place. And they're experiencing things they've never experienced before. Yet they're motivated to keep on because, number two, the pilgrims and their vision. You know, the Bible said, without a vision, the people perish. I can't imagine, and I don't want our church to ever get to the point where we're just satisfied. You know, we come to the point, well, we do what we can do. We're doing the best we can do. No, the best we can do is being faithful to God to the end, understanding what He has for us one day when we reach that place. Now, the psalmist says something amazing, and I want you to understand this. I read this, and I see what it means here. He said, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." Now, notice they didn't say they made a well, but they said make it a well. As these pilgrims are passing through the Valley of Weeping, it's not a well. And somebody said, well, it talks about the waters and the pool and everything there. No, it said that they make it a well. And notice they treat it as a well-watered spring. So from what my understanding is of what I'm getting from this and what the original tells us, is that this really was not a place where water was flowing. This was a place that in their minds they treated it as. In other words, they acted like it was a place of water. It was a place that they could be refreshed and get what they needed. In other words, the word make there, as the word is given to us in the original, it means consider. So here they are in the middle of the desert. They're looking. They'd love to have some water, but they don't have any. So they just consider like they have it. Boy, wouldn't it be good sometimes if we get down, we couldn't just consider that things were good? Consider what God has for us. It's not talking about here about a dug well. They're referring to a fountain of water as an artesian well. But the pilgrims are not letting themselves be discouraged by lack of water. Friend, today we are so blessed in America. I tell you, we have water everywhere, and we have it anywhere we want to get it. But I tell you, when you get to a place where you can't get it and you want it, it makes it difficult. But here's a group of pilgrims to keep from getting discouraged. They were singing the song of praise. They knew where they were going. They knew who they were going to get to see. And so in their mind, they just considered that they had a well, a pool there, and it was all there. They were excited not about the trip. They were excited about the destination. You know, you and I ought to be excited about our destination. The Bible said that we need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm grateful today the Word of God teaches us in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. For in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, He said, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. And I can tell you right now, think of Brother Ronald. I think about Brother David. I think about many other people that are going through some valleys in their life right now. And it's not easy. And it's, in fact, it's really difficult. But praise God, the end result is going to be worth it all when we see the Lord Jesus Christ and live with Him. They're thrilled because they're traveling to the city of Jerusalem. They're thrilled because they're going to worship in the house of God. And that's the difference, friend, with a person that's saved and knows the Lord. Even in times of difficulty and trials, we can consider that God is just as good to us in those times, and He is, as He ever is any time along the way. The idea is these pilgrims were walking by faith. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. He said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They don't view the valley as being deserted. They don't view it as being dry. They don't view it as being a desolate place, but they view it as being a welcoming place filled with all the things the pilgrim needs to make his journey pleasant, to get to the place where he's going. I tell you today, in my age, and I think about it, and yesterday that was so sad with Lisa just being 51. But I think at my age, and I have to look around, and some of us, we don't know how much longer we have. It's all in God's hands. But one day, it will be worth it all when I see Christ, and what a blessing it'll be. So, understanding that is why we're challenged to run the race. I tell you today, we just have to stay in the race. We have to keep on running. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For we consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. How do we do that? How do we go through the valley? How do we make it through the valley? Well, there's several things you need to remember. Remember, first of all, that God is in control. Friend, you need to understand today that God is not asleep. God is not dead. There was a God is dead movement one time, and it died, but God didn't, and He never has. Well, He did, but He rose back again. He guides my path. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The psalmist said, thy word was a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Remember that He's in control of your path. Remember that there's no accidents in life. Somebody said, man, why did this happen? I can't tell you why it happens. But friend, Almighty God, if He's in control, He has control of everything. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in my life. Your valley may be easier to face than my valley is. And my valley may be harder to face than yours is. But God has a purpose for everything that He does. I was talking to Brother Ronald last night. I shared with him this verse. The Bible said, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that call according to His purpose. You said, how so? Because God has a plan, and He has you in His hands. Remember when you face the valley, that you're never alone. I tell you today, I'm thankful for this church, and I'm thankful for my family, and I'm thankful for the people that I love around me. But I tell you today, I've got a God in heaven that walks with me and talks with me. He promised that He'd never leave me, and He'd never forsake me. And I tell you, as I walk through this life, as I have all these years, I'm grateful that God has promised to give me the strength that I need. I'm so glad that I trusted in Him as a young boy, and I put my faith and trust in Him, and I was saved, and I know today that I'm going to heaven. I'm making the journey to be in the presence of God. One day, I shall arrive there. Not only that, but remember that He will sustain you and strengthen you. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 9, He said, listen, my grace is sufficient for your need. It doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. You said, preacher, now wait, you're not going through what I'm going through. No, I'm not. But I've been through some things in my life. But I tell you one thing, it's God that helps me. I remember when my sister died, and I remember when my son died. Had people come to me and said, I don't know how you act like you do when you've lost somebody like that. I don't know how you control yourself. And friend, I'm not telling you I don't cry, because I do. But I can tell you one thing. God is in control. There's no accidents with God, and I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And then if you can remember that when you're passing through the valley will be much easier to endure if you'll remember this. Through the Scripture, we find these words written often, and it came to pass. I'll tell you what, there's always a blessing when we get to the end of the tunnel and we see what God done. If we can remember everything that comes against us in life and develop an image of Christ in our mind, the valley will be much easier to conquer. If we can remember the best day that we face here will probably be the worst day that you face when you experience eternity with Him. It makes the valley much more easier to endure. These people were doing nothing but considering that they were in a wonderful place. It was not a wonderful place. It was a place of desolation. But they had faith in God. Oh, today the power of faith. God knows our faith. He allows us to walk into the darkest, widest, longest, deepest valleys we can imagine, just so we can see the glory of God when we get to the other side and see His face and what all He's done for us. This same faith allows us to see the provision of God that waits those of us who have trusted Him. Faith allows us to see the blessing in the burdens. He allows us to see the pleasures in the pain and the hope and the hurt when we get to the other side. Faith allows us to shout in the valley. Circumstances say you ought to be weeping, but because of what we have, we're rejoicing. Because what God had done. Here they are in the valley of weeping, the valley of wonders, as grace and power and the presence of God is revealed unto them step by step as they go through this valley. Then notice when the psalmist makes this remark. He said, "The rain also filleth the pools." It speaks to the hope of the pilgrims. He's talking about here the hope of the pilgrims when they enter into the valley. It's dry, it's desolate, it's dreary. Perhaps they had traveled a long, long way. It had been a weary day, and the prospect of water was not good. But when morning comes, they open their eyes to find that during the dark night, the rains have come and filled all the hollows in the valley with life-giving water. God's reply to their faith was gracious supply of His blessings. This is the power of faith. God, they imagine, they make it a well, they consider it a well. And then we see it is rain also fill the pool. God honors faith of His people by providing them with the strength and the help they need to make it safely through the valley. God knows what you need. He knows when you need it. He knows where you need it. And He knows how to get it to you. The Bible said in Matthew 6, 25, and it says, "For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." If His eye is on me, why should I fear the valley? He knows the way I take. If I'm in His hand, why should I fear the valley? For I'm never beyond His touch. If I'm in His heart, why should I fear the valley? I'm never beyond His care and concern. He said in 1 Peter 5, 7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." If I have His ear, why should I fear the valley? He's promised to hear me when I pray. If I have His presence, why should I fear the valley? He invites me to come to Him whenever there's a need. In fact, He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul." When you have the right vision, even the driest valley will bloom forth, and God will give you things that you've never had before, and it'll be a blessing to see when you have faith in God. Just to make things in your mind and trust God. You know, faith is, by the way, seeing God doing something, and that's exactly what they had. We've seen the pilgrim in their valley. We've seen the pilgrim in their vision. And then lastly, we see the pilgrims in their strength. Notice verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Notice, they all made it, didn't they? Every one of them, they went from strength to strength, and it's in italics, but every one of them in Zion appeared before God. Their burdens now feel light. They feel like pleasure rather than tribulation. Their darkness is flooded with light. Their valleys have been turned into mountains. They consider now where they are, and they consider where they're headed, and they're strengthened on their journey. So weakness is swallowed up in strength. They set their eyes upon the destination, and they went from strength to strength. In other words, they depended upon the strength of God to get them to the place they need to be. My life verse is Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But you know, as we're going through the valley, how do we identify with these valleys? We'll face our distractions. I'm going to tell you something today. I'm so thankful that God changed my life and He's done so much for me. I'll tell you today, I wouldn't go back to where I used to be or what I used to do. I'm thankful today that God not only saved me, but He called me. But I'm going to tell you, there's been distractions along the way. The devil's done what he could to destroy me. He's done what he could to make me stop and quit and give up. But I couldn't let the distractions get me down. We face disappointments. We face discouragement. We face disasters. We face dangers. We face difficulties, all those things. Many of these are setbacks or can be. But the Lord gives us new grace every day to make it through step by step. So the next step on your journey, just let the Lord take it for you, and He'll place your foot exactly where it needs to be. I was thinking this morning about people that have made journeys. I thought about Moses. The Bible said if we go on, he talks about it, Hebrews 11:27, seeing Him who is invisible. Thank God one day we're going to see Him who is invisible now, but one day face to face. What about Abraham? You know, when he was leading the people, the Bible said in Hebrews 11:10, he was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Friend, I tell you today, I'm not looking for a place down here. I'm looking for a place up there. I enjoy living down here, and I enjoy being with my family and my friends and my church. But I enjoy the fact that one day I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was Stephen the deacon, if you'll remember, in Acts chapter 7. He was being stoned to death, and the Bible said, looking up steadfastly into heaven and seeing the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Friend, I tell you, if Moses and Abraham could trust God, I want you to know today we can trust God. We do it by taking our eyes off the here and now and focusing them on the there and then, where we're going to be when we leave this place, what a joy it's going to be. Yesterday, as I preached that funeral, I thought about the pain that Lisa had experienced, and I shared a little bit about that yesterday. And I'm so thankful that she had put her faith and trust in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, that pain is no longer with her anymore. The journey has been completed, and I know there's joy on the other side. I tell you today, I'm going to keep on preaching. Somebody's getting word. I'm not talking about right now. I'm going to stop in just a minute, but I'm going to keep on preaching in the future. You know why? Because I got somewhere to be and somebody to meet. One day, I'm going to see Him face to face. That's what keeps me going. Friend, that's what keeps me excited. That's what keeps me preaching. That keeps me telling the gospel story. Every time somebody gets saved by the grace of God and enters into the joy and the presence of God, knowing that they one day will spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes me rejoice in knowing what God has done. I know the experience and the road is not easy, but I also know the end of the way. I know what's at the end of the road. Somebody said, go down the end of the road and there'll be so-and-so there. I tell you, you go to the end of the road. If you're walking on the right road, I tell you what'll be there, the Lord, in a place called heaven. I know that I'll leave this world behind, and I'll go to be with Him and be in His presence for all eternity. I know someday I'm going to arrive in heaven. I don't know when, but I guarantee you the trip is going to be worth every trial and heartache and disappointment that I experienced along the way. One day, we'll step out of the valley of weeping. We'll step out of the valley of weeping and walk into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God, saved for all eternity. Let me give you some quick things and I'll be done. Trust the Lord to give you the grace that you need each day. Friend, don't worry about next week or next month or even next year. Just take it day by day and trust God to give you the grace that you need each day. Trust Him to open fountains of living water for you. Trust Him to fill your pools. He will. Trust Him for the strength you need to face each new day. Trust Him to be there to support you, to walk with you, and to meet you when you get home. You may shed tears of sorrow down here, but there's coming a day. You may shed tears up there, but it'll be tears of joy. And then one day, He'll wipe all tears from your eyes. And there'll be no more weeping. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more death. I tell you, when I read that, I thought about those two verses. And my, it's God that gives us strength by strength by strength to make the journey. And if we'll trust Him, He'll get us to the other side. I pray today that you're walking through the valley with Jesus. If you don't know Him today, listen, there's no better day to know Him than to come today and to put your faith and trust in Him. The Bible said that, as I've already said, that if I confess with thy mouth, if you just put your faith and trust in the Lord, He'll save you and give you eternal life. And then now you can begin the journey, knowing that on the other side, what awaits you when you get there to be with Him.